that's an area that we could have improved on and we will continue to improve on. I think also is that if you're going to move into this, it's really difficult to move into anything without preparation. And so that means backing it up to like having these dialogues in, you know, late winter, meaning like January, February, and starting fill people's buckets with how great this is going to be, and think about and anticipate the challenges. Time is never on our side. But I think if I was to say to others, please think about it early. Start those conversations and build that collaborative spirit, because otherwise, like we are in, we have a lot of change happening at one time.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my special guest today is Dr. Anne Krilin. Anne is the Director of Student Services at Delton Kellogg in Delton, Michigan. And I got it. There you go. Anne, thank you for being here today.
I'm so excited to share with you.
Awesome. Tell us what's going on.
Well, we just started school. So this is, you know, we're just 3 weeks into school now. And this is a really exciting year because this is the year that we are introducing push-in services for our students in making sure that they have the least restrictive environment and the most opportunities to be with their peers and their classrooms.
Awesome. That is awesome. So yeah, for those of you that are listening, it is September 16th, 2025. So our publications are about 8 weeks out. So you're probably going to be hearing this right around Thanksgiving, but you will be three quarters of the way into this semester, which will be fantastic. So how is it going? What kinds of things are you doing to have that happen?
So one of the things that we really put in place from the very beginning was looking at our students and as the district and understanding why we have students where they are. And I'm new to the district as of a year ago. So I'm one year into Belton. And our school district has a 18% population with individualized education plans. That means that of a very small school district of 1,100 children, that we have more than 200 who receive special education services. Yeah. So I came in and I said, well, what are their needs? Let's start with them. What are their strengths? What are their needs? And let's break apart the MIMIT formula. So many times when a student is evaluated and seen to have needs in reading, vocabulary, comprehension, fluency, writing, math, we use a 30-minute increment for each of those areas. Well, that becomes a lot of minutes every day for a student to be outside of their classroom. So we sat down as a team and we really thought about, what is it that qualifies this student to be pulled away from their classroom? And could we instead push in and help that student as well as the three other students with education plans and work more collaboratively with the teacher? So we are doing that in kindergarten through fifth grade. And then in our sixth, seventh, and eighth grade of middle school, they are doing kind of a little bit of a hybrid, if you will. This is a slow roll because in middle school, you have different classes for different subjects. So instead of removing a student from their math class for 40, 50 minutes a day, maybe we could have cushion 2 to 3 times a week and pull out for specific skill work as needed. So let's make things more flexible. But what's most important is let's make sure everybody is understanding our goal. And our goal is so that students feel that they belong, that they feel heard, and that they're receiving the support to get to independence. Because that's what's so important is that once a student receives special education services, we want to work so that they don't need that anymore.
Yeah, the plan is to get them off of an IEP. Absolutely. Exactly. 1,000%. I agree with you there. Yes.
Yeah. So this is, again, first 3 weeks in, we have a lot of moving parts to this. And we also have some IEP meetings right off the bat. So one of our other plans here at the district is to start to look at our calendar. When is it best for a student to have their IEP looked at? So is it the first 3 weeks of school when we have not seen them? Or could we maybe push this back until May of the previous year so that we can get a fresh data to make a plan for when they return? So these are pieces that, again, put the student first, put the teachers who are currently involved with the student at the table, and to make sure that the parents see a continuum of support and are not isolated.
Yeah. Yeah. How are the kids taking it? Like, I can see the little ones not having, this is just me, my experience, and the little ones, they're like, okay, whatever, you know, they don't really notice. But you've had kids that have been, the middle school kids, I wonder, you know, because they've been used to being pulled out and it's changed. And, you know, I don't care who you are, people don't like change. So how's it going with them?
It's going really well, actually, because so our district, we have our elementary building is K-4.
Okay.
And then our middle school is 5-8. So our fourth graders are students from last year who are in fourth grade are the fifth graders receiving the push and support. Mm-hmm. So they're the ones that we know, I know the best since I sit in the elementary building. But also they have the same case manager working with them that they had in fourth grade. So that bridge is so important. And then the students in sixth, seventh, and eighth are still getting their pullout for math and English as they need it. But they're now getting support in their writing class. So they're seeing that, I'm part of that writing class. And I just don't do a couple things outside of it. I will also say that our students are building advocacy for themselves and agency.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Because when they're in the class, then they can ask questions for clarity. Also, our special education teachers who are in the classroom might ask a question of the teacher in an effort to rephrase something. So it's modeling for the students as well.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's fantastic. That's really great. What about related services? Are you doing some push in with those as well?
Related services in our district are all provided by our intermediate school district. And what's really fantastic is that they're a team. And then we have our special education team. And we're really building our communities and then crossing them in intentional way. So related services continue the way that they've always been. And in some cases, most of the full outlooks, for instance, our early childhood special education room, they pushed in. Our speech language pathologist pushes it. Because those little ones, they don't know how to leave their environment. But in other cases, the speech language pathologist might just pull the child with them to the hallway and work for them a little bit and right back in. So we're not doing so much of a push-in for those services. But I will say social work, there's practices in place so that they can go into the classroom and do their work.
What if every student could work with a therapist who brings not just credentials, but years of experience and wisdom to the table? At Lighthouse Therapy, most of our therapists have over 16 years of real-world experience. We don't just fill seats. Instead, we find therapists who've seen it all and know how to help. And every new therapist is paired with a mentor to help them guide them every step of the way. Whether through virtual, hybrid, or in-person delivery, your students are getting services that's thoughtful, experienced, and genuinely human. Visit lighthouse-therapy.com/brighter together to to learn more.
Okay. So, so what about the teachers? How are your teachers doing with the switch?
As you said earlier, change is hard.
Yep.
And our district has taken on a lot of change this year. Needed change. But mm-hmm. at times when you have changes in, we're doing Capturing His Heart, which is a great program to build that sense of, to build up those relationships with students.
Right.
We're also doing a different assessment. So that's kind of something new to learn. So when all of a sudden there's a person in your room that you didn't have last year.
Right.
It is a little bit unsettling.
Yeah.
And yet it's everybody has been so incredible in just taking a big breath and saying, wow, I have someone else in my room. How can we work together? Because we're doing what's best for kids. I will say across the board, Delton is such a strong community that cares and invests for their families that they know that we are moving in the positive direction. And things are a little bumpy in the beginning. But
of course.
That's how we go. We've heard really great things from parents who are happy that their children are in their classrooms with their teachers more. And our teachers are really starting to rethink, oh, this is how I can structure the lesson because I have somebody else in the room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's a help. It's an extra brain, an extra mind, an extra creative thinking. It's an extra set of hands. It's a lot of things. And if you can embrace that as a teacher, you know, and work together, I love that for your team. And honestly, the kids, it's not just the special education kids that are on IEPs that win. It's everybody. All of the other kids win too.
Well,
so,
absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think sometimes need that refresher on differentiation and that we have to understand that differentiation is not necessarily an academic need, but also a social emotional need. How to read the room. Sometimes a teacher with a large classroom is trying to stay on top of everything. You have another pair of eyes and can see, that student needs a little help or needs a little supportive pop.
Yeah, or redirection.
Or redirection. Yes, they're going to that redirection. Absolutely. And that's the other thing, too, is that collaboration in a planning. So that we are now starting to move towards an integrative approach instead of just, I'll send them out for this.
And I love, too, the thing that happens that I see as well is the learning happens at the moment, whereas if you're trying to support what the gen ed teacher is doing, because I'm an SLP and I've done this for years and years and years, and yet you're not doing it at the same time in the same getting the child to make the connection between what your teacher is doing and what your therapist is doing or what your SAI teacher or your SPED teacher is doing or however, whatever word you want to use there in specialized academic instruction or whatever, that connection is harder. It's harder for them to make those connections for sure.
And that's the other thing too, is that everybody, not only the connections, but that we all can move forward at the same pace.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not waiting on that communication delay that often happens to learn what happened.
Right.
So where are you in that classroom versus we're in the moment?
Yeah.
The teacher sees it. Special educator sees it. Other kids see it.
And they want to help too. Gen ed kids, they just are. I mean, some of them can be cruel. We know that. That's the reality of just kids. People can be cruel, period. This last week is a testament to how cruel people can be. But it is, it's amazing when you see kids that are just stepping into it. You know, they step up and they embrace the students and help. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing when the kids embrace it. It really is. Are you seeing some of that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's really exciting to see that the students know their schedule, know when they have people coming in to help them. rather than I have to leave the room now. And that there's the sense of walking taller.
Yeah. It's not that it does definitely decrease the stigma of being pulled out, you know, being pulled out of the classroom because you need extra help and, you know, all of that. So that's fantastic. I'm so excited for you guys that this is, there are definitely, I've talked to some other schools and some other professionals that are doing the same thing. And some have been doing it for years and some are just getting started like you guys are. What would you say if I was somebody who's contemplating doing this, where do I start?
I think it begins with finding out where are the students and what are their needs. I think one thing that's important is to involve all of the stakeholders in a conversation. That's an area that we could have improved on and we will continue to improve on. I think also is that if you're going to move into this, it's really difficult to move into anything without preparation. And so that means backing it up to like having these dialogues in, you know, late winter, meaning like January, February, and starting to fill people's buckets with how great this is going to be and think about and anticipate the challenges. Time is never on our side. And but I think if I was to say to others, please think about it early. Start those conversations and build that collaborative spirit, because otherwise, like we are in, we have a lot of change happening at one time.
But I'll tell you, I just heard something from me that tells me that you guys are going to be successful because you recognized mistakes that you made, you know, and you are like, you know, we could have done it better. We could have done. And when you see that, when you can analyze what you're doing and see that they're that, well, we could have done that better and we're doing this right. But, you know, that's so powerful. And it really is that you guys recognize that, oh, we could have done that better. So the next time we're going to head that off at the pass and we're going to make it better for the kids, because I see that the point of all of this is making education better for all of the kids. And I love that. Love that so much.
Thank you so much. I just feel that reflection is so important. And we have a challenge making time for it. But if we're as a team and we build it into our practice, because even a reflection, unless we act on it, it's only half hearted.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I have James 1:19, which is be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And it's one of I'm a talker, and it's a little post-y note that I've had. It was originally on my mirror, and then as we've cleaned and stuff, it's kind of moved down, but it's still there because it's like I'm just constantly trying to improve. I think being a podcast host is helping a little bit too, because I am the listener in the room, so to speak. But it's just so important to be reflective, like you said, and that's what that verse is all about, is just being listening to others and promoting. And And there are some people that are just great listeners, and I wish I was more like that.
Slowly, slowly. Right. I always say slowly, slowly. It was the term, I know it in a couple of other languages because I've lived around the world, but I always tell people, mozo, mozo, slowly, slowly. If you cannot win the race by just sprinting the whole yard. So we have to pause and we have to listen. And for me, I will say that one of the best things about listening is I handwrite. While I'm really dedicated to listening to something, I'll take some notes. Because I know for my brain, I need to have that kind of physical movement to retain the information. Otherwise, you can space out. And you don't.
Yeah. Know. And unintentionally, you're not even trying to do it intentionally. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh gosh, what were we just talking about? You know, it's like, I don't do it on the podcast mostly. I have to say, I think one time in 120 podcasts, I lost the thread, which I'm pretty proud of that. I can say that it was one in 120. That's pretty good. But But still, it's important that you recognize your mistakes and you move forward and you learn from them. You go, yeah. And I when I was in grad school, or actually, I think it may have even been undergrad, I used to take my notes and I would type them. You know, I take my notes from class and type them because it gave me a second time to like get, I don't, same thing, same kind of thing that manual action of doing it and reading it again and typing it. So, yeah. Plus it made my notes clearer because I wasn't just trying to scribble it out because we didn't have the note takers that they have today 30 years ago, right? Wow.
I don't know if you knew that I had an injury and I lost my hearing in 1 year. And so I was at university in my doc program, actually. And I had a head injury and I needed a note taker. But because I was deaf in one ear, I qualified for a real-time captioner. And that was amazing to sit there with their court reporter machine and literally write the entire dialogue of that class and email it to me. I said, wow, I think everybody should do that. But you know what?
No,
now
kidding.
We have AI and you can have that turned on. But I think that note taking, the experience of it, they were, going back to it to make sure that you understood what was said. Was fantastic. But this day and age, I'm with you. You know, back in my day of undergrad, we didn't have laptops. They were right there. So we did
It was a spiral notebook and a pen, and that was
it. Right.
Oh yeah, right? Yeah. It's so true. But I mean, and that's what we do as educators is we have got to, and I know you guys are, adapt to how kids are learning and what's available to them and you know, all of that. Okay, one last question. And if you've listened to my podcast, you know the question. If you haven't, I'm going to ask it anyway. If you could, and you can't say money because everybody needs more money. Every school district I know needs more money. If you could miraculously, and I say miraculously because I'm a Christian, I believe in a God that can change things, but miraculously, you can say wave a magic wand, whatever works for you. But if you could miraculously fix one thing, just one thing in your sphere of education and what you do, what would that one thing be? And you didn't have to think about it ever again. What would that one thing be?
The first thing that comes to mind every time is acceptance and awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that for two reasons. I have, my academic work has been focused on the voice to families experiencing the journey of disability. And it's a lot, it's really hard to accept and be aware. And at the same time, be vocal so that others are being acknowledging you and your experiences. So I think that it really comes down to acknowledgement and awareness, because we can move mountains with that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So where do people go if they want to learn more about Dalton Kellogg or you, Anne?
Oh, that's so sweet. Oh, we do have a website. Our website is bkschools.org. And on our website, you'll see some amazing things that our kids are doing. And we also, if you want to learn a little bit more about me, well, I used to have a website. It's gone down a little bit. But I would say the best place is to reach out to me through Dalton's email.
Yeah.
My email is my name, Anne@dkschools.org. I believe that we are in this together.
Yeah.
And whatever hat I'm wearing, whether it be assistant superintendent, director of student services, professor at DePaul University, sister of others, I'm always here to help, and I'd love to hear from you.
Awesome. Awesome. I love that. Yeah. Yeah. You wear a lot of hats for sure.
We all do.
For sure. Yeah, we all do, don't we? Yeah, I love it. And this is one of my favorites. I have told my team, I mean, I love what we do at Lighthouse and I love being the CEO on the journey that we've been on. But doing these podcasts is a really, it's just been fun. It's exciting. I'm getting to meet so many amazing people and I get really, really frustrated when I hear in the media people bashing education. It's like, you are taking one test score and putting everybody into the same dang bucket. And it just, and that's part of the reason why we do this because we're brighter together, right? And people
exactly.
need to hear it. People need to hear it. So, Anne, thank you for your time and thank you for this conversation. It's been fantastic.
I appreciate it and hope you have an amazing rest of your day.
Thank you.